Good morning and welcome to Raleigh Baptist Church's online service. We hope that you are comfortable, wherever you may be, whether you're sitting at home in your pyjamas, you might be suited and booted, you might be watching on YouTube on Sunday afternoon, or you might be listening to us on the online phone service. If you are confused or want to know more details about how to access those methods, please visit the website. The address is below. And then you can find out all the information you need to know to access all our services and information, such as our weekly bulletins. My name's Stuart, and I'll be leading us this morning in our weekly service. Over the week, we've been receiving photos of some families who have been creating dens based on last week's service. Well, here we have the Kings. And as you can see, they've created quite a big den, and I'm sure they've got some snacks hidden in the back there. And it's also great to see health and safety being used with Grace's hard hat. So thank you for that. We also have another photo from Lily. Not quite as big a den. In fact, it just looks like they've stapled her to a clothes dryer and thrown a duvet over the top. But she looks comfortable. I'm sure that she's happy in her den. We're going to say a prayer together now. I'll be reading out the bits in yellow and you read out the bits in white. Lord Jesus Christ, lifted up on the cross, draw us to yourself. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Jesus, Saviour of the world, come to us in your mercy. We look to you to save and help us. By your cross and your life laid down, you set your people free. We look to you to save and help us. When they were ready to perish, you saved your disciples. We look to you to come to our help. In the greatness of your mercy, free us from our chains. Forgive the sins of all your people. Make yourself known as our Saviour and mighty Deliverer. Save and help us that we may praise you. Come now and live with us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Hear our prayer and be with us always. For you are our refuge and our stronghold, our God in whom we put our trust. Amen. As part of activity today, we're going to do a memory test. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to read the books of the Bible. What we're going to do is I've challenged Rosanna, Archie and Catherine to memorize 10 items in front of them. They have 30 seconds each, and you will get those 30 seconds too, so you can play along at home. And then you'll have about 15 seconds to remember and recite as many of those 10 items as you can. It might sound easy, but when you're under pressure, your mind does some funny things to you. Don't worry if you're listening on the phone service. I will read out the objects as well. But remember, no cheating. Do not write these down. See how you get on. So, the objects are a hat, a fruit bar, some coins, a pair of binoculars, some keys, a map, some toothpaste, a knife, a torch, and of course, a cuddly toy. For those on a telephone service, you're going to miss just a short clip of Archie, Rosanna, and Catherine analysing and remembering the objects. Now it's your chance to give it a go. You're going to have 15 seconds to name as many as you can.
Hat, toothpaste, key, binoculars, cuddly toy. Oh, come on, brain. Hat. Don't know if I said that already.
Knife. Teddy. Breakfast bar. Map. Hat. Keys. Binoculars. There are a light, a hat, a knife, some keys, a soft toy, binoculars, a toothpaste, map.
How many of those objects did you guess? 10? Yeah, I don't believe you. But if you got anything more than 5, you're doing very well. So well done. Give yourself a pat on the back if you got 5 or more. Now, can you think of the theme of all those objects? It's not too tricky. Type in your answer in the guess window or the chat window, and we'll give you a few moments to see who can work out the theme using those objects. But hopefully, you'll work out the theme is to do with provision and journey and what things you would take if you went on a journey. And later on, we'll be thinking about Abraham and his provision of what he thought he needed and what God thought he needed for this journey into the promised land. We're going to sing a song now called Good, Good Father. It helps us reflect on aspects of God's provision in our life and how much he cares and loves us.
Genesis chapter 13. So Abraham went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had. A lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel. To the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There, Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now, Lot, who was moving about with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together, and quarreling arose between Abraham's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abraham said to Lot, Let's not have any quarrelling between you and me, or between your herdsman and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt towards Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plains and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now, the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south, east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abraham moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. Amen.
The sermon series we're looking at is called Faith for Life's Journey, and we're using the story of Abraham to understand exactly how God's promises can be worked out in our lives and help strengthen our faith. The activity we did earlier, where we had to memorize items to do with journey, were items selected by my children when I asked them, what things would you like to take or would you need if you went on a journey? Archie's first suggestion was a knife. I'm sure they're very useful in a journey to help do things, very utilitarian, but I don't know what he's wanted a knife for. Rosanna was much more sensible and said things like map and food, maybe not in that order. And then Archie came up with ideas such as money and things like a hat for the sun. And of course, you couldn't go anywhere without your cuddly toy. Genesis 13 starts with Abraham and Lot back at the place they started their journey. They hadn't not gone anywhere. They'd simply been sidetracked because of circumstances beyond their control. So they got to this place called Bethel, and Abraham built an altar. And then they were about to go into the land that God promised them when they realized there was a famine. So in order to deal with that, they then traveled to Egypt, where they heard there was plenty of food to eat. Unfortunately, Abraham decided to do things his way. And so he pretended that his wife Sarah was actually his sister. And when they got to Egypt, the Pharaoh took a liking to Sarah. And you know what happens when guys take a liking to a girl? We want to impress them, and especially their big brother, who the Pharaoh thought Abraham was. So the Pharaoh gifted Abraham and Lot lots and lots of resources, cattle, donkeys, sheep, servants, and gold and silver, more than they would ever need, in order to impress them. And I don't know what Abraham and Lot thought about this situation. I'm sure they're actually quite happy. They had everything they wanted, except they weren't where God wanted them to be. So he made things difficult for Pharaoh. And Pharaoh then found out the truth of who Sarah was, and then kicked Abraham, Lot, and Sarah out of Egypt. And they ended up back here at Bethel, where they started so much time before that. I don't actually think we know how long they spent in Egypt. But basically, they were starting over their journey. Have you ever wanted to start over? I don't mean your whole life. I just mean maybe a day where things haven't gone to plan and you just wish that you could go back and do things differently. We're going to watch a short clip from a film where one man gets to relive a day over and over again. I'm sure many of you might have heard or seen this film. It's called Groundhog Day. And the premise is that he wakes up and he gets really angry and frustrated, and then he starts helping people, and then he finds out the reason he's reliving the day is to find love. Here's the clip.
It's Groundhog Day!
Groundhog time.
1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat.
Weatherman Phil Connors is spending the day in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
Phil? Ned! Ned Ryerson, I did the whistling belly button trick at the high school talent show.
Bing!
Bing!
But Phil's about to find out he's not just stuck in Punxsutawney.
Will you be checking out today, Mr. Connors?
Chance of departure today, 100%.
He's stuck.
It's Groundhog Day!
In Groundhog Day.
I'm reliving the same day over and over.
Phil?
Ned Ryerson?
Bing!
Do you ever have deja vu, Mrs. Lancaster?
I don't think so, but I could check with the kitchen.
Well, it's Groundhog Day. Again?
At first, he was a little anxious.
Phil? What?
Will you be checking out today, Mr. Connors?
I'd say the chance of departure is 80%.
But now,
we could do whatever we want.
He's discovering the possibilities.
Don't you worry about cholesterol?
Why?
And living life like there's Phil? No tomorrow.
Phil Connors!
Ned!
Because there isn't.
I am an immortal. I have been stabbed, shot, burned, frozen, electrocuted. I'm a god.
You're a god.
I'm a god. I'm not the god.
He's out of his gourd.
But to get what his heart wants most.
What are you looking for, Phil? A date for the weekend?
Means living this day over again till he gets it right.
Believe it or not, I studied 19th century French poetry.
What a waste of time.
I studied 19th century French poetry.
La fille qui j'aimerais.
You speak French?
Oui.
Bill Murray. Andy McDowell.
To the Groundhog.
I always drink to world peace. Well, what should we drink to?
I like to say a prayer and drink to world peace.
Don't drive angry. Don't drive angry.
He might be okay.
Yes!
Groundhog Day!
Life has a funny way of repeating itself.
What did you do today?
Oh, same old, same old.
In the film, Phil Connors had to make choices, and the choices he made changed as the film progresses. Why do his choices change? Because he learns, and the journey he is on in the film allows him to learn from his mistakes and reflect and think about how he can make himself and the world around him better. And as he makes the right choices, the world around him improves and gets better. In the story of chapter 13, we learn about the consequences that Abraham and Lot faced because they made the wrong choices. And we can use their story to help strengthen our faith and to help us make the right choices. You see, by making the wrong choice, there are consequences. And the consequences for Abraham might not sound too severe, but they definitely affected him. The first consequence was that he wasted time. We don't know how long Abraham and Lot spent in Egypt, but it wasn't where they should have been. Because there was a famine in the land they were supposed to live in, they felt by their own choice and their own human thought that they had to go somewhere where there was food available. So they went to Egypt. Now in Egypt, as we saw and read in chapter 12, they were given wealth. They were given lots and lots of livestock, servants, gold, silver. And then eventually, because of the truth of what they did, they got kicked out and ended up back where they started. I don't know if they realised this or if they thought about how much time they wasted. But when we do things our own way, we waste time. We stop God's plan being put into action when we spend time on our own plans, our own thoughts, our own ideas and wishes and wants and desires. Have a think about a time when you've done things your own way. Have you ended up in a better place, or do you end up back where you've started? Even if you end up on a different place, you might end up on the right path, you're still wasted time. Another issue for Abraham following his own way was that he became distracted by his possessions. Because of what happened with his wife Sarah, he was given lots of resources. In fact, everything he needed to live a comfortable and happy life in Egypt. And I wonder how long he might have stayed there for if God had not changed Pharaoh's mind and made him realise who Sarah was, therefore kicking Abraham and Lot out of Egypt. What do we learn from this? Well, do we allow our possessions and our situations to get in the way of our relationship with God? It's very easy. Do we need God to provide our food? Maybe a couple of weeks ago, we were getting close. But no, we have supermarkets. We have shops. What about clothes? Well, again, we have shops. We have the internet. Even in this time of lockdown, we were able to still buy things we needed and they were delivered. It's very easy for us to allow our possessions to get in the way of our relationship with God. I'm sitting in a really nice house. I've got clothes, I've got food, I've got internet devices so I can be able to record this. There's very little that I want or need for. See, Abraham and Lot were very comfortable in Egypt. And I think we can be comfortable too. And when we're in a state of comfort, we find out a true relationship with God. And these things get in the way. I find it interesting that in this times of coronavirus, the word prayer has been searched on Google 80 times more than normal. That's not 80 more people, that's 80 times the normal amount. People in this time of need are looking and searching because what they base their life on, the foundation, is rocky at the moment. Now, just because we're Christians doesn't mean things are easy and things are simple. But in these times, we are able to seek God and look for his direction. And that's what Abraham did not do at the start of his journey. He did what he wanted to do. And because of that, he wasted time and he got distracted. And now we're at a point where he is back at the start of his journey. And we get the opportunity to find out if he has learned from that mistake. And as we see, Lot and Abraham have discovered and taken different things from the short journey they've been on so far. So in a place called Bethel, you've got Lot and all his livestock and family and possessions, and you have Abraham and all his livestock and possessions and family. And it's very different to how it was at the start of the journey, because there's a lot more of everything, a lot more animals, a lot more people, a lot more possessions, lots more tents. And so something needs to happen. Something needs to give. The tension is there's fights amongst the staff looking after all the animals, saying your sheep and my cattle are mixing, they're getting in the way, and they need to do something. So they have a discussion. And what they finally discuss is where they're going to end up. Now, Abraham has learned from his experience in Egypt, and he's actually thought that doing things his way is not the best way. So he gives Lot the opportunity to decide what to do. Unfortunately, Lot has not learned from his experience as in Egypt. He has been trapped and deceived and distracted by the possessions he has. And he thinks he can do it on his own. So what does he do? Well, he looks at the land they're in and he sees the fertile valley with the grass and everything in it and thinks that'd be the best place for him to go. He uses his human eyes to look for a place that he thinks him and his possessions can be best kept. Even though there's warnings, you've got these big cities, Sodom, Gomorrah, places of evil that they've been told to avoid. And they know, and Lot knows, that these are not places he wants to go to. So although he chooses a land, he does pitch his tents as far away as possible. But as we find out later in the story in Genesis, it's not far enough. You see, we can get to a situation where we can start again. We get to a point where us and God are back in a good relationship, and God then says, so what next? And Lot decided to say, well, I want the good stuff. I want everything my way. I want what's best for me. And he ends up in this land and he gets in a lot of trouble. Abraham, on the other side, learns from his experience, learns that possessions and doing things your own way are not the best thing. Just like in the video clip, Phil Connors learns that when he does things selfishly, it doesn't benefit anyone. But when he starts helping and sharing with what he has, he becomes a gift and a joy to the people in the film. And Abraham, by making the right choice of following God's plan, allows God's promise for him and his next offspring to become a blessing to the world. Why? Because eventually Jesus is born through the line of Abraham and the line of David. Abraham allowed Lot to pick where he went because Abraham realized that to him it doesn't matter. He realized that if he put his faith and trust in God, then God would provide and give everything Abraham needed to survive and live in his promise. He didn't do that when he went to Egypt. He relied on his own human nature. But because God could have provided and would have provided if Abraham had done what he originally was told and stayed in the land of Canaan. So what happened to Abraham as a result of his newfound trust and faith in God? Well, one of the things that's happened was God renewed his promise. And not just renewed it, he expanded and made it better. So originally, Abraham was promised that his offspring would become as numerous as the stars. But what God then goes on to do is promise him that it will not be a short-term thing, that this promise will last forever. The land he has been given will be his forever. Now, I don't know if Abraham thought that the land, as in the physical land, would be his, but what God is really saying is that my promise to you is not short-term. It will be forever. It will not change, and I will not let you down. Lot chose the fertile green grass to live with his people. But it was short term. That grass would not be green forever. That land would not be his forever. And as we read on in Genesis, it becomes a very big issue because of where it is. Yet, Abraham got his priorities right. He said, Lord, I will live wherever you put me, and your promises will keep me faithful and keep me strong. After Lot had decided where he was going to stay and moved off with all his family and sheep and donkeys and everything, that then allowed God to talk to Abraham. You see, God originally told Abraham to leave everything behind because he would provide. And Abraham almost listened. He almost left all his family and possessions behind. But he took Lot with him. He went to Egypt, and anything he did leave behind, he got back. So he's in a situation where he had all this wealth and prosperity. And that got in the way of God being able to deliver his promise. So what happened? Lot moved out of the picture, and that enabled God to then bless and promise Abraham the things that he wanted to do. He could provide for Abraham in the way that God wanted to provide. And that's what we have to do. We have to give up and sacrifice what we want in order to allow God to do what he wants to do in our own lives. It doesn't mean selling everything we have. It doesn't mean giving up the job we have, because God has given us those things. It's about using them in the right way. And it's great, the stories that we've heard as a leadership at RBC over people giving and sharing of their love, their time, their attention in this time of crisis. That when people need help, the church has stood up and become part of the community. And the community have embraced the church and allowed the church to help and be involved. And it'll be interesting to see how that works out when all this is eventually over. But for Abraham, he received a new promise from God, that the promise would last forever the land he was given would be his forever. And I'm not going to spoil the story moving forward, but we learn a lot about faith that Abraham discovered at this point, that he had to rely on God and not his own way. And what did he do about it? He built another altar. He worshipped God. He put God first and made that a sign that he had done so. Do you want to put God first as opposed to anything else? What can you do to, as a sign to do this? What could you do? Build an altar in your back garden? Maybe. I'll be interested to hear, as you seek God in that, what God asks of you in order to build an altar. It might be to give something up. It might be to share or change something you do. I don't know. My prayer is that you respond this message by just worshipping God for his provision in your life so far. So in ending, what do we learn from Abraham and his faith? Well, it's quite simply that he didn't put his faith in God completely. And because of that, he ended up in the wrong place, doing the wrong things. So, if we want to end up in the right place, doing the right things, we need to put our faith in God. And if we do that, the promise he makes us is that he will provide what we need for that journey. Not what we want, but what we need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are a faithful God who takes an interest in our lives. We just ask, Lord, that you help strengthen our faith so we can put our trust in you and not rely on things which we may be seen or can be touched or that the world views as important, but we can follow the path you set out to be in journey with you as we discover the promises you've made for our lives. We just thank you for your provision during these tough times of being stuck at home. And we know that you will continue to provide. And we just ask, Lord, that you give us the guidance to know how and when to help those in need around us. We ask this in your name. Amen. We're going to finish with a song called Waymaker, which just confirms that God is in front of us, preparing a way, and that we just remain faithful to him. That's all that needs to happen. God bless you this week. And if you need any support or just a chat, then please get in touch with one of the ministers, the elders, or the office. Usual phone numbers, usual email addresses. See you soon.